Blog Talk Radio.
Another cloudy day in New York City. Yes, so they say Manishtana in Hebrew, meaning short for why is this night different from all other nights. Anyway, but that's okay. I'm in the house. I'm on the air. And we're going to be talking about food, one of my favorite subjects. As a matter of fact, that was Esther. Okay, Eunice, go ahead. Okay, that's all right. Our subject for today, we're going to be going into Albany, New York, and at a restaurant called Yono's. That was my cat, one of my cats, just demanding my attention. So anyway, we're going to be going to restaurant Yono's to talk about the cuisine and what I had, and we're going to have, this is really going to be very cute, we're going to have Donna Perromo, who is the wife of the executive chef Yono Perromo. And she will talk about the menu, and I think she's the person responsible for these delicious desserts. And speaking of desserts, you know, I have to have the sponsor, and what can I tell you?
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
You can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. We'll be getting into desserts, so I won't drool now. And so probably, this is probably a good time to introduce Donna. Donna, how are you?
I'm great, Merle. How are you doing?
Good, just great. You heard the brownies.
I kind of felt like I was a little bit in the hurry up and wait army. Kind of thing.
Oh, okay. No, I see you.
You said 10 o'clock, sister.
Yep. Well, I have to introduce the show.
Oh, boy. Well, they probably have just been listening consistently. And in case you care, it's sunny in Albany right now. So just thought I'd let you know that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for Thank you for sharing.
For the weather. Well, you shared that it was rainy there, so.
Yeah, I know. No, it's cloudy. We haven't had. No, when it's sunny, it just gets hot. This heat is like. Anyway, let's get out of the heat. And go into the kitchen.
there's quite a segue there. Good job, Paul.
Now, first of all, I have to say it's more unusual to have a great restaurant in a hotel. And it's not even like a hotel. You know, it's like the Hampton Inn and Suites. And that's where the restaurant is located. And but you're not part of the hotel. Are you part of the hotel?
No. We're completely separate entities. We lease the space that houses Yono's, our formal dining room that you dined in,
mm-hmm.
DP, an American Brasserie, which is our upscale casual dining room, and our kitchen. So we lease that space, lock, stock, and barrel, completely separate entities. Where we do, have a nice symbiotic relationship is we are the exclusive caterer for the hotel. Normally, if you're in a Hampton Inn and Suites, there is no food service. You're either, catering out or what have you. But here, if there's a group coming in and having, like today, there's a group in there, just having a simple, deli luncheon, we are the ones that will prepare that for them. So that in and of itself will exceed their expectations because they would expect on the break to come out and there would be these black plastic trays with, who knows what. But they come out and everything is on our nice silver trays. Yono has a background having worked for Holland America. So he likes things done in a particular way. So we've got our a la carte people, and certainly it's in addition to the banquet situation, we do draw a lot of guests that are staying in the hotel. Sometimes we have people that work in Albany on contracts, and they're in Albany 5 nights a week, so they really become part of the family.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So just to get people to understand, where in terms of the location, do you consider yourself downtown Albany?
Oh, yeah, firmly downtown Albany. Pearl and State Streets, that's kind of one of the big intersections. And we are just one block, we're one block above Pearl Street. We're at the corner of Chapel and Sheridan. And as the crow flies, if you're standing in DP Brasserie facing Chapel and you stick your right hand out, up the hill is where the capital is. And for those listening that may not realize that Albany is the capital of New York State, do a little history lesson there. So,
right. Yeah.
So we're firmly downtown. And lucky for us, right across the street from Capitol Rep Theater, which is a year-round Lort professional theater, and in the other direction, the Palace Theater, where we have the Albany Symphony Orchestra, world-class orchestra. They have performed at Carnegie Hall and traveled around the world. So what we have found in this location certainly is that people that spend money on the arts do enjoy good food, either before or after a show. So we've been doing this for 30 years, and I would say that this is definitely our best location.
That's great. I certainly enjoyed the food and items that I've never eaten before. But so let's talk about the menu. If you wanted to describe the cuisine, how would you? What would you say?
The menu has morphed probably within the last 3 years. For many, many years, because I don't know if we mentioned that Yono is from Indonesia. In 1971, he started working with Holland America Cruise Line. We met on the ship, blah, 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 fairy tale romance, before the love boat kind of thing. So, of course, Yono fancies that they created this around him. That's another story. In any event, for many, many, many years in Albany, because it is, a conservative town, we had the menu set up so the left-hand side had the Indonesian specialties, coriander, ginger, lemongrass, coconut milk, lime leaves, banana leaves, sambal, the ground chilies that kind of put the heat into dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right, back in 1983, that was called continental cuisine. Then it became progressive American cuisine. So, you know, take your pick of what we're defining today's American cuisine that is flavored, you know, with some Indonesian counterpoints and, you know, throw a little French, a little Italian in there. Things like the chicken pistachio have been on the menu for years. It's been on the menu so long that it was originally veal back in the 80s, and then veal kind of fell out of favor. And it's back, though. But that's, you know, shallots, garlic, Madeira, cream, pistachios, prosciutto. Really nothing Indonesian in that. But then the next thing down the line might be pork tenderloin with orange, ginger, sweet soy, and coconut milk. So because the tastes of the diners, you know, have changed a lot and they demand more, it kind of was safe to turn this into one menu. We still have, I think our New York strip right now might be with an au poivre, like a cognac peppercorn sauce, but everything is cooked to order. So, you know, you saw the menu. If you have someone coming in that is adventurous and someone they're dining with is meat and potatoes, we're happy to grill anyone a New York strip or a piece of tenderloin, put a potato with it if that's what they want. It is painful for us to make that well done,
yeah,
or medium well, but, you know, we'll do it. So I think people feel safe. If there's someone who is adventurous, they're covered. If there's someone who's a little more traditional, you know, we can make salmon well too, if we have.
Right.
So kind of a blend.
So you're doing, in other words, you're also doing the catering for people that come to the hotel.
Yeah, if there's, you know, a wedding rehearsal dinner or you name it. You know, it could be a bereavement luncheon. New York State Department of Take Your Pick, doing training seminars, private enterprise, National Grid, that sort of thing. But typical, you know, clients that are doing business in Albany that are, you know, gathering together for some reason. And you know what? Even things like pharmaceutical companies, when they do their educational programs, and they're all different. It may be as basic as something that we call a Little Italy luncheon, which, as you can imagine, you know, pasta, meatballs, chicken parm, antipasto, or, it, you know, people may pick bakmi, that yummy Indonesian noodle that I believe was on your nasi ramis platter, you know, or they'll pick a chicken with orange, ginger, sweet soy. It kind of depends. It depends on the group. Some of them mix it up. You know, they'll do some safe things, and then, because really, to have us cater even a cocktail party and put out the Franks and Blankets and mini quiche really would be a waste of our talent and resources.
Right. So before we get into the menu itself, for my readers, describe how, like, you have, like, I guess you would call it two dining rooms.
Yeah, you wound up in the wrong one. Remember that?
Yeah,
for some reason. Yeah. You had, for some reason, your reservation was in both dining rooms. You know what? It's a little bit, certainly a picture paints a thousand words. So looking at the websites kind of clears things up. But because of our location and because of the theaters and whatnot, I think if we had just made a large Yono's, the fine dining room. Six and a half years later in this location, you know, 30 years total, honestly, I don't know that we would still be in business because not, and it's not even, you know, you saw the pricing in Yono's, certainly by Manhattan pricing, it's a bargain. But not everybody feels comfortable in a truly fine dining atmosphere.
Right.
You know, they're not comfortable with Regal crystal glasses and damask tablecloths. And, you know, they want something that's sort of a little more low-key. So when you walk in, no matter which direction, we have our exterior entrance at Chapel and Sheridan, or you can actually come through the hotel. Both of those entrances put you into DP, an American Brasserie, great big windows, you know, looking out on Albany. That's where our bar is located. And we have, I think there's just 13 tables in there, a couple of high top bar stools. And then behind the reception desk, a.k.a. hostess station, two great big grand blue doors that open into, I mean, really, it looks like a movie set. And there, I keep trying to get the host or host all of the time when people walk in, if they're not familiar with our location, you know, you really need to show them both dining rooms, because there are people that have been to DP four or five times, have no idea that Yono's exists. And that's odd,
right?
Because we've had Yono's since 1986. So you would think that that is the one that is, a little more well-known, but not always the case. And there we've got the beautiful brass sign, our beautiful logo. It says Yono's. That's over those big blue doors. But perception, when those blue doors are closed, you could be sitting in DP and look up and see that beautiful Yono's up on the wall and say, oh, yeah, this must be Yono's. So, you know.
Is there a great difference between if you went at the other, I guess, the informal, if you want to call
in DP,
it. The informal,
yeah.
Yeah. Is there a great difference in the menu?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are a couple of crossover dishes, like that. The thing that I mentioned, the bok mi in Yono's,
right.
That's a staple. Everybody, they refer to it as Yono's noodles. That's in that's on the Yono's menu and the DP menu. In DP, though, it might be called stir-fry noodle as opposed to the real Indonesian bok mi goreng. Things like the short ribs that are in 24-hour braised, you know, kind of ginger lemongrass kind of preparation, that's on both menus. That chicken pistachio, a couple of the dishes are crossover. But DP is big on small plates, burgers, sandwiches. I think we have like 7 or 8 main plate salads now, sliders that really kind of make you drool. And then there's something, I think we call it signature favorites, which would be kind of a full meal sort of thing, more of a traditional entree, you know, like half-roasted crispy skin chicken that also has veggies and either potato or rice, things like that. So it's a broader menu. The price point is lower than Yono's, and it's a whole different experience. If you want to eat before a show and you want really good food coming out of a great kitchen, DP is the place. If you want to dine, and dining is going to be your entertainment for the night, that's when you'd want to go to Yono's.
Mm. So now, before I drool, by the way, let me turn off the sound here from your... I'm on the website now so we can get into talking.
Yeah, you have to hit the skip intro, Merle.
Yeah, I just did. And we're going into cuisine.
Yeah, we probably should say that website is yonos.com, yonos.com, just in case anyone wants to read along with us.
Oh, yeah. It actually pulls up on Yono's restaurant.
Yeah, that's old school, though. We have that was our first, back in the day, when people were buying websites, unbelievably, Yonos was owned by someone else. It had nothing to do with the restaurant. I think it was some sort of somebody's last name. They were Greek. But I kept watching it. In the meantime, I had to settle with Yono's restaurant. And I know this is kind of sad, but people aren't always the best spellers in the world, so it's kind of good to keep things as succinct as possible. Because unbelievably, people, you know, and now Google spell corrects it. Do you mean restaurant and not... So that's helped a lot, but we were able to secure just Yonos, Yonos.com.
Oh, cool.
But I guess all roads lead to Yonos.
Okay, so let's get into the menu while I drool here. First, I'm going to talk about what I had, and I sent you the photo.
I know, and you know what? I don't generally delegate, but I did delegate, and I had asked for something a little more than what's on the menu, and that's
right.
Not what I got back. I'm not going to mention any names, but I know some of the items that you had, the Nasi Ramis, which I call the eating your way across the archipelago. That was kind of the Indonesian sampler. You also am I allowed to say what you had?
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
Okay. The one that I say, if you have too much, you could get jumpy. So that would be kangaroo. I think you had some kangaroo.
Yes, I had kangaroo. And by the way, for people who want to know what it tastes like, it tastes like kangaroo.
Little gamey, a little meaty.
Really? You find it a little gamey?
I'm really susceptible to that kind of stuff.
I usually am. I found it less gamey than if I had venison.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
And
but
it was like
little...
I would call it, it tasted more like a lean beef. That's what I, that was like the consistency and sort of taste. Kind of thing.
Well, I know that any sauce, Yono can put sauce on shoe leather, and it will taste good. I also saw that one of the items, you had scallop that was kind of in a strawberry gazpacho sort of broth that was probably prepared
That's
especially
what that
for
was.
You.
I'm going,
yes.
What in the world is that a
yes.
photo of?
Yep, that's it. Scallop and strawberry, and then there's sort of a variegated, maybe sorrel, leaf on top of it. I didn't get back the warm fuzzy that I hoped that I would, indicating that it's from such and such farm, you know, 3 miles away, because we do make a concerted effort. And that's definitely our son Dominic, who incidentally, DP Dominic Pernomo, I'm Donna
mm-hmm.
Pernoma, but that's really his concept, and that's why it's named DP. But he's big on, you know, it's a lot more money, and it definitely is a commitment, but trying to use as much local product as possible. So
sure.
Now, that's
was
the deal with your scallops.
Was one of the things I had, was it citrus and fennel pollen dusted Atlantic yellowfin tuna?
That sounds correct.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I just wanted to because I sent you photos
right.
of what I ate.
And then
I
sent those photos on.
Okay.
And I got a really succinct kind of response.
All right.
I'll beautify them. And I did ask again this morning. I said, perhaps
okay.
you misunderstood. What I wanted was the flowery above and beyond what's in it. Although, let's face it, the menu is pretty descriptive.
Oh, it is. It is. When I write, I want to kind of make people like drool when they're reading, you know, what these things are, as I probably will as we talk about the menu. Looking at this, what is sambal aioli?
Sambal olek, O-E-L-E-K?
Oli, oh, yeah.
Is it sambal olek or is it a sambal aioli?
Aioli.
Because you're looking at the menu and I'm not. Okay. Sambal is an Indonesian condiment that back in the day we would have to get from California or drive down to Chinatown. This is now, you can get it here in the Asian, even in a big supermarket, a chain supermarket, you can get this condiment. You don't even have to go to an Asian market. It is ground chili you know, fresh chilies that have been ground, and then, you know, they do an infusion with a good oil. So, it, you know, the end result is it's a nice, deep, flavorful, in our culture, we call hot spicy. So I guess I'll use spicy. To me, spicy means flavorful, not necessarily hot.
Right.
But anything that has sambal in it is going to have a little bit of heat. And if Yano's cooking for himself, he's going to have a lot of heat, which he sometimes regrets, but he doesn't learn.
Okay. Okay. I'm going down looking at some things. Here's interesting. A lobster, mascarpone, and squid ink ravioli. I didn't
mm-hmm.
have that, but please, I mean, tell me about this.
Well, the pasta dough is made with the squid ink, so it's a dark pasta dough. And then, you know, I mean, the hallmark having lobster, it's opulent to begin with. And the Italian mascarpone cheese is really kind of sweet and creamy. So you mix those two up and you stuff this wonderful, you know, the pasta with that, and you definitely have a winner.
So I see when it says like X family sweet corn, is that the way you're getting?
Yes.
Is the company using for
yep.
the local vegetables?
Yes.
Okay.
And there are several. I know that there are several different resources. And, I mean, it's it really is heartwarming. I mean, we literally have farmers coming to the kitchen door, dropping things off.
Mm.
And it, you know, I mean, the reason why, if you remember on that, although, you know, I know we were trying to put a lot of tasting things together for you, but I think you saw the regular menu where it's, you know, Two of the main regular menu, one on the left side, one on the right side, the appetizers, first course, main course, what have you. But then we always have features that are designed each night, and that is where we have the opportunity to use, if there are items that we didn't expect, not something that the farmers normally grow, but they've had some good success, you know, they'll bring them over, and then we're able to use those on features as well as the more counted upon items that you would see on a regular menu.
Yeah. The next one I want to kind of get into, which is the fricassee of Louisiana farm-raised alligator.
Yeah. You know what? The alligator has, I think back in the day, Yono would put, and when I say back in the day, I'm talking about the 80s when, you know, there wasn't a lot of quote-unquote wild game things on people's menus. Yono would put things on, I think it was really just to kind of get people talking about things. And lo and behold, there are a lot of them that have become favorites, and they're not just on the menu as a, you know, kind of a shock and awe thing. People do really order the items, you know, so that kind of necessitates, since we have a lot of regulars, changing things up a bit. And since I'm talking on my phone, I can't really Google the hallmark of fricassee, but when we think about it as a chicken fricassee.
Right.
And then I guess we're just substituting.
Well, it says one of the things that is interesting in the combination is having a tempura escargot.
Ooh.
I just realized I never had snails that in tempura.
Yeah, well, yeah, because usually it's traditional garlic wine.
Right.
I'm trying to think. We had them in an unusual... I want to say that it was at one of my favorite restaurants in New York, especially in the theater district, Sava. I know that they have an unusual, and I can't remember what the twist on it was, but I remember that Yono got that. So, you know, I guess it's fair game to kind of swap things up.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well,
we're going to have to get you back up here.
No, definitely. Now, I just the listeners, this also says it's tempura escargot, tamarind sauce, cauliflower, red curry, emulsion, hearts of palm. You know what's interesting? How chefs come up with, let's throw in, we'll do a red color, you know, or hearts of palm would go nice with this, or
as
tamarind sauce. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If it's, as if each item on their own wouldn't be enough. But, yeah, the, you got to keep in mind, before I met Yelena, I probably, hearts of palm I had seen, but tamarind, I had no idea, tamarind. And, I've come to learn that it's a pod and it's kind of like a spicy, tangy flavor that gets imparted to whatever dish it's in. And it does lend itself to a, to a lot of different things.
Yeah. Okay, let's go into, God, I'm drooling here looking at the menu. Here's an interesting one. I didn't have this, but I'm looking at this. Pan-seared and torchon of Hudson Valley foie gras. Brioche pain perdu. What is that?
Pain perdu, that's one of those French preparations, the lost bread kind of. It's kind of like a little bread pudding, French toasty kind of preparation. Is there, I'm trying to think, I know there's also a preparation that's kind of, is that the one that has peanut butter and jelly by any chance on it?
Peanut butter powder, Concord grape, compote, crispy banana.
Yeah. Well, that must be a tip of the hat to Elvis Presley. Got the bananas and the peanut butter. That's definitely bordering on the molecular gastronomy stuff, that peanut butter powder. They just take items and they're able to, I don't know what the heck they do. They spin them, they separate them, they turn them into dust, turn them into powder. And it's just a very pungent, let there be no mistake, that it's a peanut butter flavor. But the torchon would be the cold poached foie gras, and then the pan-seared, which I guess I'll take either on any given day, but put them together, and that's definitely a nice combo. That's definitely a playful type of combination. And, foie gras is almost always with something that's a little bit sweet and, just a brioche toast or something like that. So I guess, as Emerald would say, the entire preparation has been kicked up a notch.
Yeah.
Or two. Or four.
Bang.
Yeah. You can almost put it in the kids' lunchbox. There's your peanut butter and jelly.
Okay. Here's interesting. I'm just looking. X Farm Heirloom Tomato Salad.
Oh, man.
And it says Maple Brook Farms Burrata. What is that?
Yeah. Burrata is the fresh mozzarella that's kind of still, inside of it has that creamy just sort of oozes out kind of thing. I have eaten a bowl full of those tomatoes. I have that almost every night, and I try to go easy on the burrata, but I also like throwing in a little bit of the Italians, we call it frizzelle. It's Italian bread that's been kind of dried, so it's a little bit hard and crispy. And you throw that into it, man, oh, man, that is good. And those tomatoes, they're really, it's kind of like they're still warm from the vine when we get them. So they are magnificent.
By the way, this is killing me because... In about an hour, my friend is picking me up and we're going to Panera Bread for lunch.
There's a place, there's an occasion for all.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and you're not cooking and you're not cleaning, so.
Right.
All right, know what, though, Merle?
Yeah.
I've probably got about three more minutes for you because I wasn't sure how long we were getting together, and then I didn't realize, I'm calling you from the cell phone, because I had an appointment and was unable to do the landline. So you're going to have to pick a couple more favorites. I hope it's dessert.
That what I'm going to ask you about, you make is you're responsible for the desserts?
Still stuck with that.
What
even though
is your most popular dessert?
Hands down has been for many, many, many years something called chocolate rendezvous. And it is chocolate ganache, a layer of like a raspberry conserve, lady fingers, chocolate mousse, a chocolate plaquette, which is like a really thin little candy bar, if you will, on the top. And though less is more applies to almost everything in life, I have learned when it comes to chocolate, more is more. And people will, they'll talk the talk. They may not necessarily walk the walk when it comes to, you know, I have to watch this and I have to watch that. But once the dessert menu comes out, I want to say seriously 3-1, maybe even 4-1, that chocolate rendezvous outsells everything else. And the other ones are not, you know, it's not chopped liver.
Right.
But definitely chocolate is still
so are these all your creations?
Yeah, you know what? They are. I think the only, the Sarikoyo, which is probably listed on the Yono's menu, is kind of like an Indonesian flan thing. Pandan, coconut milk, you know, and it just has that creamy sort of custardy consistency. That's something that Yono brought with him. And also the Kolak Pisang, which sometimes we team up with a rendezvous. That's an Indonesian version of, let's call it bananas foster, warm, spicy, stewed bananas that we serve with, well, we call it thousand-layer cake. It's really about 17 layers. And a nice, good old, you know, homemade vanilla-scented ice cream. That's a, with a chocolate, fabulous combination. But all of the rest of them. Yeah.
I don't suppose people can order online, can they?
yeah, that would be, hey, aren't they making, you know, stuff where you can print out food? I don't know how that works, but we'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
and I have a music and theater background, so really, I by default, I got desserts because, you know, people who cook, men predominantly, say, oh, I can cook, but I can't bake. It's too precise. It's too this. It's too that. So back in the late 70s, early 80s is kind of when I started getting into the desserts.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So that had been your thing.
Yeah, music and theater. Yeah.
Oh.
Proud graduate of Long Island University in Southampton.
Oh, wow. At some point, not now, but I'll tell you about my background at some point. Also, music and theater.
I think that would be a two-hour show.
Yeah, but anyway, okay. So, again, just it's www.yonorestaurant.com.
Yono's with an S, Y-O-N-O-S.
S. Yono's, right, without an apostrophe, right.
Right, because on the web, I don't know.
Restaurant.com.
No. And then the other one, I think you can link from Yono's to DP, an American Brasserie, and that one is DP, and then the word brasserie. No, it's not brasier. It's brasserie.com.
Okay.
You know what? What can I tell you? I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I have seen it all. DP, brasier. Okay. Well, listen, this has been a pleasure.
Yes.
I'm going to have to run.
Sure.
I'll look for a follow-up email from you, and I'll get you some flowery stuff.
Okay. You got
it.
All
right, dear. All right,
okay.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Yes. I'm drooling now. Not that the Panera's is, you know, has lousy food or anything. It's just a far cry from Kangaroo. And by the way, it like kind of tasted like a lean beef. I am going to at this point, and I will and the show. What am I doing this week? Actually, let's see. I'll be going to one play. I can't think of the name of it. I'll think of it. I'll be going to the theater, one play. I'll also be going to see, I guess it's Dean Martin's daughter at Feinstein's. And also going to a restaurant called Amelie's. Going to the mall near me. One chocolate place had opened up, and I'll be doing something with that. And so that looks like my week. So I will set up another show, of course. But until then, have a nice day, night, morning, whatever. Hope the weather is decent where you are. It's just so muggy. No pun intended about New York, but it's just muggy here. So, take care, everybody. And, I'm sorry. One spot.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Oh, goodbye.